don't know the hour. You don't know if you're going to be driving 95 on the highway, or if you're going to need a police escort, or if you're going to have to call an ambulance. Like, you have no clue. God kind of picks the day and the moment. And that's the day, that's the hour that you're due. And that's when you're going to come into the world. Amen? But this verse takes a little different route when it's speaking of this example. It's talking about the day of the Lord coming. It's talking about we don't know the day or the hour which God has chosen to come and receive us. Amen? And so there's this, if you're living in sin, there's this impending doom over your life and this sort of curse over your life, the curse of sin, which is death. And so you know that there's something wrong, and you know that there's something that's going south, and you know that there's this impending doom in your life, but you don't know exactly when everything's going to fall apart. And you don't know when the Lord is going to come. And even people that are outside of the knowledge of God and don't know anything about God, they have the same concern in their life. They may not know to say that it's sin, or they may not know about the day of the Lord, or they may not know about Jesus Christ. They may not know about the coming judgment, but they know if I keep playing with fire, I'm going to get burned. If I keep messing around, something, I'm going to go too far. If I keep doing, and especially when there's knowledge of God and knowledge of the holy and an understanding that God is going to be coming, that doom hangs over their head like dark clouds, and it is terrifying. They do lose sleep at night over it. But look what the Bible says about us. About the ones that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 6, it says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Amen. You see, we know that there's a coming judgment, but we actually greet it with excitement and with joy. We know that the day of the Lord is coming, but we are confident that the very God that saved us is going to preserve us. That same cloud is hanging over, that cloud of wrath, but that cloud of wrath, we know it's not appointed for us. It's appointed for those that don't obey God, and that deny God, and that don't obey the gospel of Christ. Amen. That's the choice, the valley of decision that we live in. Whether we're going to follow God to life or whether we're going to follow sin unto death and destruction. History Revealed magazine, to mark its 50th issue, recruited experts to create a list of top 50 list of decisions that changed the world. And I'm not going to read 50 decisions. I culled it down to 10. And I'll read through these quickly. But listen, these decisions, some of them made thousands of years ago, changed the course of history. They had a momentous effect for many years to come. And this is in chronological order. But as I read this, I want you to think how different history would be if these decisions had been different. If these decisions, if they had made another choice or done something else or done the opposite, what could have happened, both good or bad. So, let me get a drink first. This is a lot of reading. So, first one, I'm going to start just before Jesus, before the birth of Jesus Christ, in 49 B.C. So the first one is that Julius Caesar crosses the Rubicon, marching on Rome with the 13th Legion, and started a civil war, which Caesar won, ending the Republic and creating the Roman Empire. And then almost 400 years later, in 313 A.D., this is after the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, Roman Emperor Constantine convert to Christianity, and it would become the dominant religion of the Roman Empire. You see how one decision led to another decision almost 400 years later. In 1439, fast forwarding a tremendous amount, almost 1500 years, Johannes Gutenberg owed a bunch of money, and he decided to reveal the idea of the printing press in an attempt to clear his debts, which revolutionized book production. And the first book ever printed was called, what do you think it was? The Gutenberg Bible. This isn't a Gutenberg Bible, but the Bible was the first book ever printed. How much of an impact did that have? And it was over a decision, well, I got these debts I got to pay. To me, it's like, wow. What if somebody in his family would have died and he would have gotten an inheritance and been able to pay all his debts? That's just crazy to me. 1492, Spain funds the voyages of Christopher Columbus. Explorer became the first European to discover the Caribbean and Americas. And some of these are all kind of connected, but a few years later, the Protestant Lutheran Church was formed when Martin Luther posted his 95 theses against papal indulgences or the atonement of sins through monetary payment on the door of the church at Wittenberg, Germany. Just a few years later, in 1533, Henry VIII breaks from Rome when the Pope refused to annul his marriage, and he created the Church of England, which created also that Protestant church in the West and the East, if you will. And then just 100 years later, the English pilgrims, because of the pressure from the Church of England, the English pilgrims decided to settle North America, and they laid down democratic principles that would underpin the Republic a little over 150 years later. I'm on number 6. All of these are just tremendous decisions. It's just amazing to me that these small choices, and sometimes big choices, had such an effect. 1833, British Parliament votes to end slavery. This move abolished slavery across the British Empire, which was huge. Massive, all the way down into India and down into the Pacific. All the way through, where the British Empire had this vast, vast empire, Africa, everything. And they said, no more slavery. And so that led to that British opposition to slavery led to the abolitionist movement and the election of Abraham Lincoln in America. And in 1860 and 61, Southern states seceded from the Union, objecting to the anti-slavery. America entered into its most devastating war, the Civil War. And 4 years later, in 1865, President Lincoln, by executive order, issued the Emancipation Proclamation. Amazing. That's just, all of that led back to the British Parliament deciding to abolish slavery. And then in 1914, and this is another big one, Archduke Franz Ferdinand's driver, anybody recognize the name Franz Ferdinand? history buffs. Yeah. Franz Ferdinand's driver took a wrong turn in Sarajevo. And the assassin, Gavrilo Princip, happened to be in that street. And the heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire was killed, igniting the First World War. He took a wrong turn. And World War I was the result of that. That's crazy to me. Man, in 1944, General Eisenhower delayed D-Day. Listen to this. This is, to me, is crazy. General Eisenhower delays D-Day by 24-hour decision to put his faith in his weather forecasters and was rewarded. On the other side, the German general, Erwin Rommel, known as the Desert Fox, left his post to go on vacation a few days before June 6th. His absence is seen as part of the reason for Germany's fall at Normandy and the outcome of the entire war. So Eisenhower decides, because of the weather forecast, to delay by 24 hours. At the same time, General Rommel is going on vacation to visit his wife for her birthday. And those two choices on opposite sides of the war led to the American victory at D-Day and Normandy. And then, just 1 year later, in 1945, the U.S. dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, Japan. It killed 80,000 people instantly. 3 days later, a second bomb was dropped on Nagasaki. Japan surrendered, and the Second World War came to an end. All of these decisions that intermingled and had something to do with something else. 1963, at the March on Washington, get this, this is amazing to me. The March on Washington, in a moment of pause in the speech of Martin Luther King, the most famous speech of all time almost, is I Have a Dream speech. Did you know that the title of that speech was not even I Have a Dream? No. In a moment of pause, the singer Mahalia Jackson said, "Tell them about the dream, Martin. Tell them about the dream." And what followed was him ad-libbing through the most powerful speech that changed the course of history and set the civil rights movement on the path to revolutionize voting and everything up to that point. And it was just that one moment of pause. Tell them about the dream. That's amazing to me. And then this one, and I just include this one now because this one is the most, I think, impactful one for the modern day. But maybe none of you recognize this, but IT people would recognize this. The name is Tim Berners-Lee. He decided, he's British, and he created the Internet, the World Wide Web, but he decided to make the Internet open for all and ensured free access for all to the Internet. Another British decision to make something free, which is really incredible to me. You can kind of, if we had enough time, we could kind of make the argument that every single one of these choices kind of strings together. They all have an impact on one another. These decisions are somehow connected. It's almost like something bigger is in control. Amen? And I'm going to make the argument that I know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's in control. Praise the Lord. But, you know, some of these decisions have an impact on our life right now. I know that the decision of 17 hijackers on and before 9/11 had an impact on me standing in front of you right now today. Somebody else's choice had an impact. 9/11 had an impact on my life. And we're coming up on the anniversary of 9/11. And that was something totally outside of my control, but I would have never met any of you other than in heaven if we both made it, if they had not done that, if they had not attacked us, because I wouldn't have joined the Navy. I wouldn't have come here. I wouldn't have met Brother Fred. I wouldn't have come to this church. I would have just been living my life. But a decision that I made to respond in response of 9/11 to join the military had an impact on me being here today. And so some of these choices that we make, some of those choices we regret. We live with the regret of those choices. And some of those choices, they hurt us. And some of those choices were powerful agents of change in our lives. And some of the choices we make, they had a great impact on our life. They had a great impact on our future. But no one can deny that choices change history. And there's a ripple effect that happens. So some of these decisions are ones that we wish we can take back. And some of the decisions we're so happy we made them. Amen. But I want to reiterate my purpose here. My purpose is to set a choice before you and to make it clear that you're going to make a decision today. No one can avoid making a decision. See, the gospel demands a response. Jesus Christ, if you say, well, I'm not going to make a response. I'm not going to respond to this today. I'm not going to make the choice today. That's a choice. You've chosen to not make a choice to follow Jesus. And some of you are going to make that choice. Some of you are going to reinforce that choice in your heart that you made many years ago. But everybody is going to make a choice today. And I want to make that clear to you. You're going to either reject the gospel or you're going to embrace the gospel. You'll either reject Jesus or you're going to come to Jesus. The choice is between faith or doubt. The choice is between life or death. The choice is between blessing or curse. We're all living in the valley of decision. And so let's go back to our opening text in John 4 and 5. It says, then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. So a few months ago, Pastor was talking about this story of the woman at the well, and he read this verse. And for some reason, that name Sychar jumped off the page to me. It just jumped out. God drew my attention to it. I was thinking, man, what is Sychar? What's its significance? Where is it? You know, what happened there? Why is it significant in Scripture? What's going on? Can you put up my map? So this might be hard to see, but it's pretty big up there. But you can see the pin that's dropped there. And that's Sychar. And even smaller around that, when I begin to research this, you can see that Sychar is on one side of a valley. And Jacob's well, where Jesus met the woman at the well, is on the other side of the valley. And it's this valley that's in the middle of two mountains. One is called Mount Gerizim, and the other one is called Mount Ebal. And I don't expect you to be able to pronounce those at the end of the message here today. There's no test. But there is a choice that you have to make. This valley, Sychar, this valley of decision, if you will, is a literal example, geographical example of the valley of decision. So when I was researching this and looking more into it, and I want you to kind of imagine that you're standing in a valley right now, and you're looking at two sides of that valley. And let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. It says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. One's on one side. One side's a blessing. The other side is a curse. We're standing here in the valley of decision. It says, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you obey not the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. This stands as a literal valley of decision. On one side, if you could put my picture up of Mount Gerizim, that overview. So this is the perspective that you are standing on if you're on top of Mount Gerizim. You can see the grasslands. You can see the little bit of greenery there in the foreground. And on the other side is Mount Ebal. Mount Ebal is a desolate place. It's a place with piles of stones. It's a place where there's no farming going on there. There's no water on Mount Ebal. On Mount Gerizim, there's plenty of water. You can farm, you can get fruit, you can plant vegetables and crops, and you can harvest, and there's plenty of greenery, and you can actually get a good yield out of your crops, and all kinds of fruit and all kinds of vegetables, and you can graze sheep there, and you can they can be fed and watered. But on the other side of the mountain, the other side of the valley of decision, all that is yielded is thorns and thistles. All that you can do is go pick up and pile up rocks. Look at the spring. In the spring during Mount Gerizim, Mount Gerizim is rich, green, blossoming wildflowers. But I want to see if you notice, if you could notice the difference when we look at Mount Ebal. Anybody notice the difference? And I didn't take these pictures. I got them from, I didn't make a trip over to Israel real quick while my wife was away. I got these from Google Earth. These were taken within the last several years. And I didn't change these or nothing, but it's kind of, I was like, maybe I should brighten it up, because man, it's so dark and dismal. It's dismal. It's desolate. Look at the stones. Fields of rubble versus rich green meadows. Go back to the meadows. I want to choose the meadows. I want to choose to walk in green pastures. I want to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to choose to follow after the blessing of God. But go back to Ebal. But if you continue in sin, this is what's waiting for you. This is the choice that you've made. There's plenty of water on Mount Gerizim. There's water enough for everyone. But Mount Ebal is completely devoid of life. And in Deuteronomy 27, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in Deuteronomy chapter 27, Moses commands that when you pass over Jordan, so this is in Deuteronomy chapter 11, but before Moses dies, he reiterates it and tells them, I'm not going to be able to go over there with you, but I want to make sure that you do this. Make sure, and if you just jump to verse 27:11, it says, and Moses charged the people the same day, saying, These shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over Jordan. Simeon and Levi, he's talking about the tribes, and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice. And he goes through a litany, the next 11 verses, all start with, cursed be the man. And they all end with, and all the people shall say amen. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven image or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and put it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. You see, these decisions that people make, in and of themselves, are detrimental. Whether God puts a curse on you or not, or whether God curses that action or that activity or not, just think about the decisions that these people are making. Think about what they've chosen to do. That if you make the choice to live in the mountain of Ebal, and choose that side of the valley of decision, then a curse will be upon you. And everyone agrees synonymously that these actions are cursed. These things in and of themselves should not be allowed. If you set light by your mother or your father, you remove your neighbor's landmark, maketh the blind to wander out of the way. God does not like, he puts a curse upon those who try to take advantage of others and try to force others to against their will and to their detriment. If you pervert the judgment of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, lieth with his father's wife, lieth with any manner of beast, lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, lieth with his mother-in-law, smiteth his neighbor secretly, taketh reward to slay an innocent person, confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, amen. Everybody's in agreement. Psychologists will even tell you that if you are trying to manipulate and go behind people's back and go and try to hurt, or if you try to take money or a reward of some type to harm someone else, that you're doing it to your curse and to your detriment. You don't need the Bible for that. The curse will be upon you if you live that way. What kind of person does it take to see a blind man and make him wander into the ditch? An evil person. What kind of person would try to take advantage of the fatherless and the widow? An evil person. What kind of person would know that there's a blessing if you follow the commandments of the Lord, to follow and to do them, to follow after Jesus Christ, and chooses, specifically says, I hate God, I hate Jesus, I hate... The answer's the same, my friend. If you choose to live in the curse will be upon you. But I want to choose the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow unto it. And so, I'm not going to read this, but put up the stone altar. Here's a stone altar. This picture was taken on Mount Ebal. And, they don't know if this was the altar that is recorded in Joshua chapter 8. But Joshua chapter 8 records that, in fact, whenever Israel marched across the Jordan, that they went to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, and they put half of the children of Israel on one side, on Mount Gerizim, and half of the children of Israel on Mount Ebal, and there they pronounced, in Joshua 8 And verse 34. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. This truly happened. And I follow, can you put up the picture of that man, Scott? So I follow a couple vlogs that talk about recent archaeological discoveries. And in 2019, Scott Stripling took a team of archaeologists and they went to near Mount Ebal where there had been some excavations. Original excavations had happened in the 80s and they had taken the rubble from Mount Ebal and they had displaced them to another location. But since the technology has advanced, they wanted to go back through all that rubble and comb through it all to see whether or not they could find anything. And sure enough, in 2019, while Scott Stripling was digging and excavating that pile of discarded dirt and debris, look what he found. Go to the next pictures. He found this folded tablet, this small folded tablet. And when they saw it, they knew exactly what it was. It was a cursed tablet. They have found many of these, and they've dated them back many, many years. And they were kind of astonished that they found this because it was excavated near an altar on Mount Ebal. And they found on it, and I want to jump to what they found on it without telling the whole story about how they did the resonance and all that stuff. They x-rayed it 100 times and they were able to find 48 Hebrew letters, which if this is accurate, which there's a little bit of controversy, and I got to tell you, look how small this is. It's only like 2 centimeters by 2 centimeters. Tiny little tablet folded. There's a little bit of controversy about the dating, whether like what time period it was from. But if what they're saying is accurate, this would then be the oldest known Hebrew writing ever discovered. 3,200 years, which actually dates back to when Joshua crossed the Jordan and went to Mount Ebal and did what Moses commanded him to do. But listen what they found. 48 Hebrew characters, including the oldest known word for the name of the Lord, Yahweh. The phrase says like this, and they have some translation issues with it too, but essentially they found cursed, cursed, cursed. Cursed by the God Yahweh. You will die cursed. Cursed you will surely die. Cursed by Yahweh. Cursed, cursed, cursed. Not a great message, right? Say, how are you going to get out of that? But I want to make the choice clear to you today. Because if you continue in sin, and you keep playing around, and you keep making the choice to keep doing the wrong thing, your life is cursed. And you may not even see it, but everyone else does. And God does. But I want to bring you the hope. Amen. And I'm finishing up right now. But I want to bring you back to hope. Because you don't have to die in your trespasses and sins. You don't have to die lost. You never have to avoid Jesus. Because remember, Jesus has compassion on those who are living in the valley of decision. Come to Jesus. And so can you go back to my map? We're going back to my opening scriptures in John chapter 4. And just leave this map up while I read these verses. But this is our text. He left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Well, see, this woman was from Sychar, the only town near Jacob's well. And so she had crossed the valley from the place where she was living on near Mount Ebal on that side. And she crossed the valley in the middle of the day, right around noon, in the heat of the sun, crossed the valley alone and came over to Jacob's well, which was on the side that had water. And she was expecting to get water there. Now, in the historical commentary, they speak of different times of day when work would be done. And so, normally, you needed water, a provision for the whole day. So you would not go at the middle of the day. You would go early in the morning, or you would go towards the evening time. But never during the middle of the day. In this arid climate, this desert climate, the heat of the sun would just beat down on you and punish you for the task that you had to do. But for some reason, and the Bible doesn't tell us why, this woman went in the middle of the day. Could it be that it was to avoid shame? Some of you know the story of this woman, how that she was troubled, how that Jesus began to speak to her. And Jesus told her, give me drink. And then the next verse says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. See, who she was she was a Samaritan. Who she was a someone who was living under an ancient curse which God had put on people who decided that they were going to go after false gods. That they were going to go follow after the gods of the people that were around them instead of the great I Am. And so she was a Samaritan, which was one count against her. And then also it was not culturally appropriate at that time for a man who was unwed to speak to a woman who was in a relationship. And so Jesus starts to talk to her and begins to, in the next verse says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, you can put these verses up, verse 10. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Speaking of the water of Jacob's well. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Could it be this woman who Jesus began to speak to and reveal everything in her heart and life? If you read the story, you know that she was a deeply troubled woman that lived a deeply troubled life, and that she had led it all the way to that point where she was desperate. She had been married 5 times, and she wasn't even married to the 6th man that she was living with. And this explains that why she came at the noon hour to the well. See, she was walking this walk of shame to avoid the people that would mock her, or the people that would scoff at her, or the people that wouldn't want to be in her company. Amen. There she was, but she had an appointment with the Lord Jesus Christ. He must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go to that valley of decision, and he must needs call somebody out from Mount Ebal and the Mount of Curse to the Mount of Blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Could it be that this dysfunctional, broken soul, amen, that couldn't even keep her relationships right, or had to avoid crowds and avoid decisions? Could it be, amen, that Jesus there was waiting for her? Amen. You see, Jesus has compassion on the multitudes in the valley of decision. Jesus has compassion for the broken. Jesus has compassion, amen, for those that are living in sin, that are living in that valley of decision, that are living even in the place of a curse. Amen. He's such a merciful God. Amen. Why don't we stand together all across this place? Amen. I'm going to call you here to this altar in a moment. Amen. Brother Tim, would you come? I'm going to call you here to the moment, in a moment, to this altar. Amen. And you'll have an opportunity to come. And you'll have an opportunity to make this choice. Amen. You can live, amen, in the Mount of Blessing. You can live in Jesus Christ. Amen. He has to be frank with you. He has to tell you the truth about your life. Yeah. See, people that don't tell you the truth, you question whether or not they love you. Because if there's something that is happening in my life that would cause me to lose out with God, I hope you would be kind enough to tell me. Am I going to like it? Probably not. Most likely I'm not going to like it. But you know what? I'll think about it. It will be on my heart and on my mind. I might even lose sleep over it until I come to a point where God reinforces what you've told me and I come to repentance. But I'm here telling you the truth today. That if you keep living in sin and you keep going in and out, up and down, I don't know if I'm going to serve God today or if I'm going to not serve God. I don't know if I'm going to make it to heaven or not. I don't know if I really trust Jesus or not. If you keep living and jumping between fear and doubt and blessing and cursing, you don't have to live in the valley of decision. Just make the choice today to follow Jesus and do whatever He asks you to do. Obey the gospel. Come to repentance. Yeah, you don't have to wait to come to the altar. You can come right now. Amen. That woman that was living in a curse and a cursed life, she had nothing to offer. But Jesus was offering her something better than she could have ever hoped for. She came there that day from Sychar, a place of rubble, and came to a place where she could receive the blessing of the Lord. She came just for just a temporary water. But there she met the Master. And He offered her living water. He offered her water that would quench her soul. He offered her water that would never run dry. He offered her water. Jesus' name, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. I feel the presence of the Lord so powerfully here today. Jesus has compassion right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I'm calling you right now. Come to the water that will never run dry. Come and freely drink of this water that will never run dry. Come on and see what Jesus can do in your life. Come on and see what God wants to do. Come on, God can baptize you with the Holy Ghost today. You can receive the power of God. Hallelujah. You can receive what no one else can provide for you. You can receive everlasting life today. Amen. If you'll just be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Amen. Especially you young people that came from camp. I'm telling you today, God wants to have you make up your mind. Amen. God wants to have you stay lit today. To get on fire with God. And stay on fire with God. Come on, I'm pleading for you. Hallelujah. I'm begging you. Come on and reach out to God. Come on and pray. Come on and lift up the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you'll just begin to repent of your sins. If you'll just begin to confess to the Lord everything in your life. Come on, just take the time right now. Say, Lord, the things that I've done, God. Lord, the things that I've done against you, Lord Jesus. God, would you forgive me, Lord? God, the things that I've spoken, Lord Jesus, that I shouldn't have spoken, Lord God. Oh, the things that I've thought, Lord God, that I had no business thinking, Lord Jesus. Would you forgive me, God, today? Would you have mercy on me, Lord Jesus? I want to make the choice today, God, to live in the mountain of blessing, oh God. I want to make the choice today. Hallelujah. As we begin to pray with one another, as we begin to seek God's face today, why don't you find somebody that you can pray for? Come on, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, put your hand on somebody and pray with them. Oh God, we love you. Oh Lord, you're such a blessing to us, oh God. Hallelujah. You've called us to a place of repentance, Lord. You've called us to a place of blessing, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God wants to move on you today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, would you fill them with the Holy Ghost today, Lord? Jesus, you know these people are seeking. You know, Lord God, the situations in their life, God. You know, Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless my brother, Lord. what a good God we serve. Hallelujah. He's already forgiven sin. He's already began to bless your life. He's already began to restore you. He's already began to plant those seeds that are going to flourish and that are going to bloom and blossom in your life. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody's mourning needs to be turned into joy. Somebody's sorrow needs to be turned into joy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. It's the joy of the Lord that's your strength and your salvation. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Can we clap our hands to the Lord today? Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to take time today to thank God. Thank the Lord for what the choices that you made today. The choice you made to follow Jesus. It's the biggest choice you've ever made in your life. Amen. The choice to be obedient to the gospel. Look what it says right here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." When you choose to follow the Lord Jesus, He will give you instruction for what you need to do next. And if you came today and felt the power of God and repentance, and you asked God to forgive you, just know that the Bible promises us that if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all wrath. He'll clean your conscience. He'll set your mind free. You won't have to live in that regret and doubt. And then the Bible says that the answer to a clean conscience towards God is to be baptized. Baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer when God forgives you of your sins. If you have not been baptized in the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that name is the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be baptized today. We have change of clothes. We have garments that you can change into. You don't have to worry about that, getting your clothes all wet. The water's warm. Amen. And bro, it will change your life. Talk about a choice that will change the future. Amen. And then the Bible says in the next verse, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Amen. If you're not sure about how you were baptized, or if you don't know what's going on, or it's been a long time and you're not sure what happened, man, get baptized. Ma'am, get baptized today. Sir, get baptized today. And the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. And then you're in Christ. See, you're not just living on a mountain somewhere with wellsprings of water. You're not just living where that you have to, you know, plant and harvest. You're living in a place of everlasting life. You're living, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen? Praise the Lord. If you have decided to be baptized today, go ahead and change and get ready and we'll baptize you. If I do want to give an opportunity, if you have to go, God bless you. So thankful that you came today to the house of the Lord. We're looking forward to Pastor returning. He should be back next week. Amen. Brother Fred's going to preach for us next Sunday. Amen. Looking forward to all of that. But let's be blessed. Let's make this a turning point right now. I'm no longer that old person that I used to be. I'm no longer going to make those choices I used to make. I'm no longer going to do the things and go the places I used to go. Amen. I know where I'm going. I'm going to the Lord. I'm going to the Lord. I made the choice today to follow Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you lift up your hands today and give God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for your presence and visitation today, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, Lord. Hallelujah, God. I praise you. I love you. I worship you, Lord Jesus. You're so good, God. He's better to me than I've been to myself. He is so good. He's so good. He's so kind. He's so wonderful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. God bless you today. God bless you today. Amen. Greet one another. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen.